Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Coffee Talk. Michael?
Fadi, once again, it's a pleasure to be on Coffee Talk, where we discuss the most pressing international issues of the day in the most thought-provoking manner possible. And with that in mind, I say, let's talk.
Okay, so, Michael, Inauguration Day. Today is Inauguration Day.
It is.
8 years ago, Barack Obama was sworn in as President of the United States.
Yep.
In an election that was really unprecedented in
Absolutely.
Many ways.
Absolutely, yeah.
If you recall that primary, I remember watching it in the midsummer heat and looking in bewilderment as this young candidate from an African-American background rising the polls and clenching the Democratic nomination.
And I remember that one of those speeches during one of his primary wins, as we all recall, him delivering a speech talking about how the day might come where the ocean level declines and where we save our planet, and
yes.
just this really soaring rhetoric,
and
which fired up so many people across the country.
You know, the Yes We Can campaign.
Yeah. It really seemed like a very unique historical moment.
Yeah, and Hillary Clinton losing to this young candidate and eventually being brought in as Secretary of State.
Yeah.
He was very young at the time. I think he's leaving office at 52, so...
55? 56.
Okay, 56. So,
yeah.
I mean, he was in his 40s. That's the point, at least, when he was sworn in as president. He had two very young daughters coming in to live in the White House, which was it seemed a big generational shift from the baby boomers that had occupied the White House prior to that.
Well, people talked of him as sort of like the first post-baby boomer president. And he seemed to, there was talk about how this was going to usher in a post-racial era. And, you know, Obama seemed to come from a time where he was free of the cultural issues that had torn apart the country in the 1960s because, you know, he was very young at that point. He hadn't been part of that era. So this seemed to be, to borrow an overused phrase, it seemed to be the passing of a torch to a new generation. You're absolutely right. It was a unique moment, to be sure.
So looking back at this moment, 8 years later, you're the America specialist. You're a specialist in international relations, and particularly in American, China relations, and you have a book on it. You can plug your book for a moment if you'd like.
Absolutely. My book, published by Manchester University Press, is based on my doctoral dissertation on U.S. China during the 1960s. I suggest you pick the book up quickly, as I'm sure it's flying off the shelves. The title of the book is Piercing the Bamboo Curtain, Tentative Bridge Building Toward China During the Johnson Years. It makes for scintillating reading, and I beseech all of our many listeners to pick it up, as I know you will.
So, essentially, you know your stuff. So, what do you think of the Obama administration? How do you rate this administration?
Well, that's a very timely question, obviously. And if our listeners will indulge me, and you as well, Fadi, I'll take a few minutes to...
interrupt you for one second. All other podcasts out there are actually doing analysis on the Trump presidency.
Yes.
We are doing an analysis on the Obama presidency.
Exactly.
So,
appropriate because we have historical perspective. We like to look back as well as look forward. And with Obama leaving office, I think this is a very appropriate time to, to assess his presidency. Did he measure up to the promise? And that's what we're here to do today. And with that in mind, I'll offer my thoughts and then you can offer yours. I would say looking at the Obama presidency, ultimately I think there's a dichotomy between the promise on the one hand and the performance on the other. A dichotomy between the soaring rhetoric that raised these hopes that we've talked about and ultimately what he was able to achieve in office. And I think, if I'm someone, say, 500 years from now, looking back at this time, You know, what will Obama be remembered for? You know, for example, George Washington, you know, he's remembered as the first president, the one who basically created and defined the office and bequeathed a functioning government to his successors. Abraham Lincoln is remembered for preserving the Union, winning the Civil War. Ronald Reagan is remembered for consolidating really the rise of this of the political right and helping end the Cold War. These are tangible achievements that presidents like that are remembered for. I would say that, say, 500 years from now, if people look back and the one thing that pops up to them about Obama, I think will be that he was the first black president. Which was certainly very symbolically significant and something for sure to, to number one, to be thankful for, and number two, to appreciate. But he doesn't, when you look at his record.
I have a question for you, actually, for a moment.
Sure.
Do you think he would want to be remembered as the first black president? Or do you think he would want to be remembered for other achievements?
Well, I think it's pretty self-evident that, he realizes that when he came into office that he did have that historical burden on his shoulders. He knew very well that he was the first black president. And I think he went out of his way to conduct himself in such a manner that he wouldn't be accused of pursuing a so-called black agenda. Mm-hmm. And I think he very much saw it as his mission. As he had throughout his pre-presidential career, he saw himself as a bridge builder, as someone who could bridge this racial divide. I think he saw himself in that manner, and he conducted himself accordingly.
Was he really that person? Because to me, Obama, you know, no matter how much I look at it, Obama has been a very polarizing figure in the United States.
He has, and I think. In part, that's unquestionably due to Republican obstruction. The Republicans from day one, it's been very well documented in a number of articles from very reputable sources. The Republicans made the calculation from day one of the Obama presidency that they were not going to play with Obama, that they were going to stand in solidarity against his agenda. And indeed, if you look at any of the major pieces of legislation that passed, whether it was the economic stimulus package, whether it was Obamacare, these pieces of legislation, vital legislation, passed without a single Republican vote.
Was it racism, or was it something else?
Well, I think it depends. It's unfortunately, as we know, racism happens to be woven into America's social fabric. It's a common thread running throughout American history. Unfortunately, it's there, and it always will be there. And Obama drew attention to this during his farewell speech last week.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in part some of it is racism, but on the other hand, I think it would be unfair to say that all opposition is racially based. We've heard about how during the election that we just had, these white working class voters abandoned the Democrats and droves and went to the Republicans. But it would be unfair to say that a lot of that was based on racism, because as exit polls have revealed, a lot of these white working class people who either did not vote or voted for Trump, a lot of them actually voted for Obama, both in 2008 and 2012. But they just this happened to be an anti-incumbent year. There was a lot of dissatisfaction with the political status quo. And I think the Democrats fell victim to that. So I don't think a lot of it – I don't think you can dismiss a lot of it as racism. Some of it among some people for sure, but I don't think you can say across the board that that's the case.
So can I give you just my perspective on these issues? I think Obama and the presidency has been blamed for problems, at least from my perspective as somebody who works on the Middle East and who knows and understands the role that the United States has played in the Middle East, and particularly in Iraq and Syria. and the conflicts engulfing those in the region right now, it seems that a lot of people in the Republican Party, in particular in the United States, squarely blame Obama for problems that have been there for a very long time,
mm-hmm.
and have been there because the United States has had policies that have become entrenched within the system that has led to these problems. So,
I agree.
So the issue is this. Yes, there was absolutely racism. Yes, there was absolutely problems with Obama's presidency. But at the same time, to be fair, I think, to Obama, we should actually give credit where credit is due.
Mm.
And he did try to do some things differently from previous presidents.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it wasn't for lack of an ambitious agenda. He did have a number of things that he wanted to achieve, both at home and abroad. But he happened to govern during a period of stark political polarization. And also a lot of these problems that he tried to tackle were, you know, seemingly intractable and almost defied solution. But what I'll just go back to what I was saying before in terms of assessing his presidency, you know, looking at it through an historical lens. You know, Obama, he doesn't have that sort of tangible achievement that you find is attached to
big presidents,
the most notable presidents. So, for example, you know, he didn't achieve any sort of political realignment, for example.
No.
And in fact, really, if you look at his presidency, he proved to be very much an inattentive party builder. And, you know, during these 8 years, he basically presided over the virtual decimation of the Democratic Party at a state level, which consequently shortened the Democratic bench for national office. And, you know, if you look at, you know, now that Hillary Clinton has basically gone into political retirement, you know, you must ask yourself 4 years from now, who is in the running for the Democratic nomination? They don't have a long bench. So that's number one.
Obama, the Republicans really have a long bench.
No, but they're
the ones who are
in the White House. They have controls of both houses of Congress, and they're about to have a Senate, a Supreme Court majority. So, you know, they're in a better position. And if you look at as well, the Republicans have a virtual lockhold on state governments. You know, both governors' houses and legislatures. So that's number one. Obama, there's no political realignment. Number two, you know, he didn't win or end any major wars. You know, people talk, Obama will say that he brought an end to these two wars that he inherited, but I don't think that holds up to scrutiny. You know, he doubled down on the commitment to Afghanistan, but ultimately was... And this was, you know, he was boxed in by his military and civilian advisors. He went in to Afghanistan with more troops, which ultimately didn't work. And even as he drew down these forces, he was forced to maintain a military presence
in the NATO presence with the United States and Iraq.
Yeah.
The Coalition of the Willing has been really, I mean, it's been a disaster for the country.
It has. No, Afghanistan was not a success. He did manage a military exit from Iraq, but then he found himself coming back there to counter the rise of ISIS.
So it has been really a disaster on both accounts.
Yeah. And Libya, you know, he backed a very ill-advised overthrow of Gaddafi, but he had no post-Gaddafi plan for governance, and the country is now in chaos. So that didn't work out either. And then the third thing I would say is that Obama, you know, he didn't pass any lasting domestic legislation or bills. He passed Obamacare. He passed financial regulation. There were climate change initiatives. But, you know, with Trump coming into office, a lot of Obama's legacy is now up in the air, and a lot of it is probably going to be dismantled. So, you know, a lot of what Obama actually did accomplish is probably about to come to an end. And if you look historically at the most effective presidents, they've been able to mobilize popular support for the reforms that they passed, and they were able to lock them in place. So, for example, Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal, it survived once the Republicans regained the White House in 1953. Lyndon Johnson's Great Society withstood the Reagan Revolution. These were lasting domestic reforms. Obama won't be able to say the same. What I will say is that I think in terms of Obama's tangible achievements, I would cite two, and they are significant, but they're more of a negative quality. And by that, I mean, number one, I think he prevented a financial meltdown with the stimulus package that was passed, and that's a very notable achievement. But it's hard for the general public to wrap their fingers around that, because it's hard to make the case, it's hard to make a compelling case that you've done something by saying that you've prevented something, right? Like that's not something tangible. But I think history will look back favorably on what Obama did there. And then the second thing I would say that was a very notable achievement, I think, was the Iran nuclear agreement, where I think he prevented what could have been a very dangerous crisis escalating perhaps into a region-wide war. So these are two very notable achievements, I think. So generally speaking, I would say that when you're looking at Obama's presidency, yes, he the rhetoric outstripped the performance, but he did have those two significant achievements that I outlined. He was able to pass, you know, notable reforms, but the problem is that they're not going to be locked in place. And then I would add that, you know, especially with Trump coming in, I think there's going to be you'll notice a very stark divergence, in the sense that I think Obama handled his office with a lot of dignity and class and intelligence and grace, and I think he'll be looked on back fondly for that as well. So, you know, looking at the big picture, historians, when they assess presidents, they tend to categorize presidents as either great, near great, above average, average, below average, or a failure.
And where do you place Obama?
And
today?
I would place Obama as above average. So he's not great, he's not near great, but he's above average. He's sort of like a George H.W. Bush.
Okay.
He's sort of like a Bill Clinton.
So somebody, you know, a steady hand of the tiller type thing.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's no mean feat. I think the country was in capable hands. And given given this political polarization that defined his time in office and his limited room for maneuver, and given the intractability of a lot of these problems, I think he handled his duties capably. I think the country was in pretty good hands. And, you know, being remembered as an above average president is not such a bad thing.
So I'll ask you this, on a lighter note before we finish this particular coffee talk today. How do you think he's feeling 8 years later? I mean, I know you can't, but how would you feel after 8 years of being president, knowing that this is your last job?
I've often wondered, I mean, like, how's, you know, today on Friday, is his last day.
Yeah.
When he wakes up tomorrow morning on Saturday, how's he going to feel?
What will he do?
I imagine, really the only people who can answer that question are the people who've held that office,
yeah.
Right? Like, not even Obama's closest advisors.
But he's leaving at such a young age. That's my point. I mean,
I imagine, like, for a lot of presidents, I imagine, and it's probably the same with Obama, it's probably a mixture of relief. You know, my God, I'm finally out of here after 8 years. I have some time to myself. I don't have television cameras following my every move. I don't have the press on my back every day. I don't have the burdens of office on my shoulders. So I imagine there's a mixture of relief, but I'm sure there's also, a sense of regret as well, because I think he did have an ambitious agenda. A lot of it wasn't enacted, and I'm sure he would have liked the chance to have done a lot more than he was able to do. So it's probably a mixture of relief and regret.
I mean, he is leaving around the same age Bill Clinton left office.
Yeah.
He's
got a lot of years ahead of him, and, you know, he's a very resourceful, intelligent public official who's very engaged with issues at home and abroad, and I'm sure he's going to try to play some role,
both nationally and internationally,
yeah,
I think. I'm pretty sure he will learn from
He'll probably be a lot like Bill Clinton, but not as shady.
Well, actually, that's a good way to put it. George W. Bush has gone into into
solitude.
Solitude.
Yeah.
We haven't
heard from him for
a very long time.
I don't think Bush, he's not as actively engaged with, he's not a policy wonk the way Clinton and Obama are.
And they're readers and they're engaged.
I'll give Bush credit. He has been dignified in retirement.
Yes, but more dignified than he was as president.
Yes.
And I've always said he probably became president by accident.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people would agree with that.
His brother, I think, is really more of an individual who has sought the office or sought the limelight.
But did not have his brother's political skills. George W. was a skilled politician.
Yes, and actually his humor, his dad jokes, his...
Yeah, no, he's actually... I once had the pleasure of attending a debate. They called it a debate, but it was really a discussion between George W. and Bill Clinton. This is both after they had left office. And I attended this. And
was this when you lived in New York?
No, this was actually in Toronto. This was sort of in the middle of 2009.
Oh, okay.
And no, I mean, George W. is he has a very disarming personality, and he's very charming. He's got very good people skills, and I think he put a lot of the hostility in the crowd against him. You could sense it.
Yeah.
He sort of disarmed it as he talked. I mean, he's a likable person.
Yeah.
It's just his decisions were disastrous. I think the office overwhelmed him. I don't think he was meant to be president.
So where would you rate him, actually, speaking of rating?
George W.?
Rating, yes.
At best, he was below average.
Okay.
Possibly a failure.
Okay.
But at best, below average.
Well, on that note, Michael, I really do appreciate your time. I know you have a busy schedule.
I do.
Yeah. Well, on that note, thank you for listening, everyone. From us here at Coffee Talk, we always like to hear your feedback.
The letters coming.
We'd love to hear your opinions on the same issues we are discussing, and if you have any ideas, we'd love to hear them. Thank you. It will be an interesting 4 years, as today Donald Trump becomes president of the United States.
The day we never thought would come.
And I'm sure we will have more to say about that in the near future.